Have you ever stopped to think about what's actually going on behind the scenes? You know, with your banking app or maybe your favorite streaming service, it feels like magic, but there's this really powerful, structured language making it all work. Today, we're taking a deep dive into that exact language, SQL, Structured Query Language.
Right. And our mission today really is to go beyond just the definition for you. We want to explore why SQL is still so incredibly powerful. We'll look at, why it's so popular, how data actually gets into and out of these systems. We'll even break down how you actually build a query and touch on those little differences, the dialects.
And yeah, we're basing this on a really practical introduction to SQL document. It gives a great framework, really lays out the fundamentals and how it's used day to day. Okay, so let's zoom right in then. When we say SQL, what are we actually talking about? What's its like fundamental job in this whole digital world? Because
Sure.
it's way more than just letters, right?
Precisely. SQL, it stands for Structured Query Language, and it's essentially the common tongue, the lingua franca, for talking to relational databases, which are, still the main way we organize huge amounts of info into neat tables all linked together. So at its core, SQL is how we interact with those databases, how we view the data, organize it, manage it. And what makes it so popular, especially with developers, is it's pretty readable. I mean, once you get used to the syntax, the keywords are quite close to, well, plain English.
Okay, that readability, that sounds like a massive plus. But are there times when that's maybe not ideal? Like, does it cause issues with performance, maybe, or security compared to languages that are, I don't know, more abstract? Or is it really popular for other reasons too?
That's a really good question. Readability is definitely a huge win for just getting started and using it day to day. But SQL's popularity, it goes way deeper than just the syntax. There are several big advantages. First off, it's interactive. You run a SQL query, you get results back, bang, really fast. So you can tweak things, explore, make sure you're actually looking at the right stuff pretty quickly. That's huge when data's always changing. And then there's dependability. SQL's been around for, well, decades now. It's been tested, refined, battle-hardened, you could say. It's kind of amazing how many critical systems, think global banking, flight control, still run on SQL databases that were set up ages ago. That stability, that reliability, it just makes it the bedrock, even when flashy new tech comes along. Which leads straight into why it's often called a sticky technology. Once a company invests in setting up a solid SQL system, moving away, it's often just too complex, too expensive, so it sticks around.
Huh, that's really interesting. So it's not just about being the newest thing, it's about being proven stable. So, okay, outside of the main tech teams, who else is actually using this language? It sounds like it's kind of spreading through businesses.
Oh, absolutely. SQL is definitely not just stuck in the IT department anymore. Its usefulness stretches right across the board. You see people in marketing, QA, sales, all using SQL, maybe directly, maybe indirectly, just to get insights. There's this big push now for, data literacy, and SQL is often the first step. In bigger companies, it's pretty common to see them offering free internal courses. They want to empower employees to ask their own questions of the data. Whether that's digging into marketing campaign results or tracking product bugs or spotting sales trends. So yeah, this cross-department thing really makes it a skill that, well, it opens doors in a lot of different areas.
Right. So understanding SQL isn't really about aiming to be a database admin specifically. It's more about getting this powerful tool you can use for making better decisions, solving problems, no matter what field you're actually in. It's like becoming fluent in data. Okay, so before we can even think about querying data, it needs to be in a database, right? So how does information actually get in there? What are the typical ways people load data into these, well, massive storage bins?
Yeah, that's step one, absolutely critical. And there's quite a range of methods. Probably one of the most common is just importing files. CSV files, comma separated values, they're everywhere. Super simple, just text with commas separating the data points. Really compatible. Other kinds of structured text files get used a lot too. Beyond just files, you can pull data in straight from other programs. Think like spreadsheets, maybe Microsoft Excel, or even pulling data across from other database systems. And then for more direct control, you've got specific SQL commands. Create table lets you actually define the structure first, what columns you'll have, what type of data goes in them. Then use the insert command to add the actual rows of data one by one or in batches. Now, depending on the specific database system you're using, there are often graphical tools, GUIs, that let you click through an import process that can make it easier for people who aren't as technical. And of course, for the big repetitive jobs, loading lots of data regularly. Writing custom scripts to automate the whole thing is very common, very efficient.
Okay, data's in. Now, accessing it, viewing it, databases aren't all the same structure, are they? And you mentioned that difference between the front end, what we see, and the back end storage. That seems key. What are some common, maybe misconceptions about how those two parts talk to each other? And how different can these database environments actually be?
Yeah, that's a spot where confusion could definitely happen. Sometimes people think the database is just the application screen they're looking at. But really, the database itself, fundamentally, it's about storage and management. You talk to it through a front end. That front end could be a GUI, a graphical user interface, you know, with buttons and menus. Or it could be a command line interface, just text commands. Meanwhile, the actual data might be stored right there on your local machine, or on servers somewhere else, or increasingly, you know, in the cloud. The front end is just that layer that connects you to wherever the data lives and helps you make sense of it. And there are just so many different front end options out there, each with its own way of doing things, its own features. It's kind of like choosing between, say, Microsoft Word and Google Docs for writing. They both let you write documents, but they look different, feel different, have different bells and whistles. For lots of users, maybe people who just need to see the information, not change it, dashboards are super popular. SQL dashboards, for example, give you these nice visual summaries of key numbers.
Then for really digging in, doing complex analysis, creating visualizations, you get into powerful tools like Tableau or Microsoft Power BI, Oracle Analytics Cloud, AMMS, or Loads. And it's also really important to remember that permissions are usually split up. Generally, only a few people might have the right to actually change the data, but many, many more will be able to view it and analyze it. That reflects the different roles people have.
That makes total sense, yeah. With so many different people potentially using different tools to look at the same underlying data, keeping things clear must be absolutely vital, which brings us neatly to the data dictionary. What exactly is that, and why is it so important for, well, stopping mistakes and keeping the data trustworthy?
Oh, the data dictionary is crucial. Absolutely critical. Think of it like the official rule book or the glossary for your database. It's basically a full explanation of all the data you've got stored. What does this table represent? What does each column mean? What kind of data is it expecting? Are there special rules or constraints? The most important thing is that it has to be centralized. Everyone using that database needs to be working from the same set of definitions, updated consistently. If you don't have that, clarity just goes out the window. Fascinating. I actually remember this one situation where customer had meant one thing in one system, like the individual person's ID. But in another system they were linking to, it meant the household ID. Without a really clear data dictionary defining that difference, reports were just consistently wrong, which led to some pretty bad business decisions, frankly. Because, yeah, column names aren't always obvious, descriptions can be missing or vague, ambiguity creeps in really easily. So to try and manage this, you have what are called active dictionaries. These are actually built into the database itself and get updated automatically when things change. That's ideal.
But then you have passive ones, which are separate documents, maybe a spreadsheet or something, that someone has to remember to update manually. You can see how active ones have a huge advantage in keeping things accurate and stopping those kinds of costly mix-ups.
Okay, right. So we've got data, we understand the environment, the need for clear definitions. Now, let's get really practical. We know SQL is how we talk to the database. So how do we actually put together a query? How do we ask it for the specific information we need? Let's maybe quickly recap the basic bits and then look at something slightly more specific.
All right, this is where you turn your question, like a business question, into instructions the database actually understands. So remember, every table in the database has fields. Think of those as the columns in a spreadsheet. And each record, each piece of information is a row. SQL queries always start with one of those core commands like select, update, insert, or delete. The key really is to figure out exactly what you want first. What information are you after? Or what change do you need to make? Then you translate that thought process into the SQL syntax. So let's start with the absolute basic, just as a refresher. Select from customers. Okay, select, that's the command saying I want to get data. The asterisk, the star, no, that's like a wild card. It means give me all the columns, everything. From Brits tells the database where to look. And customers is just the name of the table we're pulling from. So, super simple. Show me everything in the customer's table. Okay, now let's get a bit more targeted. Say you don't want everything. You only want the names and cities. But specifically for customers who are in the USA, you write something like this. Select customer name. City from customers, where country, USA.
See the difference? We're not using the email anymore. We're listing the exact columns we want, customer name and city. And then the WA clause, that's a really powerful part here. It acts like a filter. It tells the database, only give me the rows where the value in the country column is exactly USA. This is how SQL lets you sift through potentially millions of records to find just the precise bits you need.
That's a perfect example of how those simple building blocks combine into really specific requests. Okay, so that's the basic language. But you might be thinking, is that exact way of writing it the same everywhere? on every single database? And interestingly, the answer is, well, almost, but not quite, which brings us to this idea of SQL dialects.
Exactly. Yeah, dialects is a great way to put it. SQL itself was standardized way back in the 80s by ANSI and ISO that gave everyone a common foundation to build on. But just like with human languages, different versions, different dialects emerge depending on the specific database system you're using. So while the core stuff, select, from, where, insert, update, delete, that's usually pretty consistent. You can find subtle differences in how you write certain functions or maybe totally unique features that one vendor added to their system. For example, Microsoft SQL Server. That's Microsoft's own proprietary version of their dialect. It has features specifically designed to work well within the whole Microsoft ecosystem. Then you've got major open source players like PostgreSQL and Squid. PostgreSQL, for instance, is known for being incredibly robust. It's not just for the relational databases we've mostly been talking about. It also supports object-oriented databases. And really importantly these days, it can handle modern data types like JSON directly. So that shows how these dialects kind of evolve to meet different needs, different architectures, different kinds of data, what modern apps require.
Understanding those little differences becomes pretty important, especially if you're thinking about moving data between systems or just trying to get the best performance out of a specific database. It's also why getting locked into one vendor's specific dialect can be a real consideration for companies.
So, okay, wrapping this up. What does all this really mean for you listening right now? We've gone through the structure, the language, the variations of SQL and databases. Why should you actually care about this kind of hidden language that's running so much of our digital world?
Well, at the end of the day, SQL really is the foundational language. It's how we interact with these huge information systems that honestly underpin almost everything we do online and definitely in business. It's a tool we use to turn just raw, messy data into knowledge you can actually use, into insights that help you make decisions. It doesn't really matter if you're in marketing trying to figure out customer behavior or sales looking at trends or QA tracking down bugs, or maybe you're just curious and want to understand the world better using data. SQL gives you that power, the power to ask specific questions of the data and get direct answers back. It's more than just pulling info. It's about enabling smart, strategic choices in a world that's just drowning in data. It's a massive part of being truly data literate.
Right. This deep dive, hopefully, has given you a good glimpse into that architecture of information, the fundamental language behind so much. So here's maybe a thought to leave you with. If you could ask any database anywhere in the world one really critical question, something that would genuinely help your work or just satisfy your curiosity, what would that question be? And maybe more importantly, thinking about what we just discussed, what kind of select statement, maybe with some specific where clauses, would you start to build to try and get that answer? We really hope you keep that curiosity going, maybe explore a bit further. You could pop over to the W3 School's website. They have a great basic SQL tutorials. Try clicking through a few pages. Get your hands dirty with the syntax. Or if you're feeling a bit more adventurous, check out those island adventure or crime-solving adventure sites. They're fun ways to actually solve puzzles using SQL queries. We've also got a PDF linked with more instructions if you want to dig even deeper. Honestly, the world of data is out there, just waiting for you to ask the right questions.